You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. I get to be your host this week for Attention Please, our weekly show on Mondays that focuses on things that are happening in our community.
I said, come on over, baby, a whole lot of shaking going on.
That's our theme music for Attention Please, because there is a whole lot of shaking going on in our community. We're talking today about Straight Up, and it's convenient that you just heard a spot that they purchased to let you know about their new issue of their magazine. It's a two-issue-a-year magazine. Issue number 5 is out now on the newsstands in the co-op in most places where you would find interesting local publications. I was able to talk to 2 of the 7-person collective of people who have taken over Straight Up magazine. Their influence is really seen in this new first issue, which the subtitle of the magazine is Uproot. I got to talk to Justine Gonzalez-Berg, the editor-in-chief, and Arendt Spesser, one of the collective of people who produce the magazine. I talked to them yesterday. I'm talking to Justine Gonzalez-Berg, the editor-in-chief of Straight Up, that just came out with issue number 5, and Arendt Spesser, part of the editorial collective. There's a kind of collective group of 7 people, really, who sort of together put this together. How does this work as a collective?
That is correct. Well, we're still in the process of asking that exact question and answering it together. But generally, we have some different tasks that we've divided up. So Arendt and I take on a lot of the administrative tasks. And then as a collective, we work on, you know, putting out a call for submissions, reading through and discussing all of the submissions we get. We get a lot of poetry, a lot of art, some written submissions, sometimes creative pieces, sometimes fiction, a lot of nonfiction. And we go through and decide on the theme together and how we want to craft the issue, what we want the visual feel to be, what we want the content to focus on. And this past issue, we've also, for the first time, worked with a writer's circle. So we did a call to different people who like to write. And we sort of had a separate group that met fairly frequently over the course of the winter, thinking through story ideas that were going to be relevant and timely, but also would sort of fit together in a theme. So part of the editorial collective, we met with this group of writers and helped people work on their pieces. And so some of the longer nonfiction pieces came out of that writer circle.
So this is a quarter, you're shooting for this to be quarterly or?
Biannual, so 2 per year.
2 a year, okay.
And ideally, it'd be lovely to get to more issues per year.
Sure.
But right now, we're just going for sustainability and. Yeah.
We really like to talk about the means of production. And that's what our designer, Rose Burt, who is an absolute superstar. You've seen her from the Black Lives Matter posters. She isn't just an absolute star. Our design is beautiful and it takes a long time. And it really, like, our magazine is crafted, and that's the thing. And, you know, we're looking to just, like, make a beautiful product alongside great content and very relevant stories.
Well, I have to say that this issue really steps up from the previous issues in terms of design. It's a striking design, and it's very cohesive content-wise, really. I mean, you clearly worked on it to make it about a central theme, and the central theme of this episode is the perspectives of people from different backgrounds who live in our community, sometimes live almost invisibly in our community, and a chance for everybody to speak up. And is that the overall intention of the magazine overall, or this particularly the focus of this issue?
Yeah, definitely wanting to provide a platform for those often unheard stories. And so definitely this new editorial collective has had a strong desire to use the magazine as a way to uproot the systems of oppression that we all want to leave behind, and also to be rooting new ways of doing things. So the voices that we want to, you know, lift up, the stories that we want to tell, the artists, the up-and-coming folks, we really want this to be a platform where people who are often unrepresented can have their writing heard and can have their voices represented. And in that community, that also looks like young people. You know, people in the younger generation who are working still normal jobs. You know, we all have other jobs. This is a part-time project. It's hard to see ourselves often in the way that Port Townsend specifically in Jefferson County largely portrays itself to the larger world. And so we want to create something that really speaks to like people who live here, work here, are making a life here and are raising families here and all of that.
Mm-hmm. A huge shout out to J-Carp, who really like inspired our model because they have critiqued the nonprofit industrial complex, which is a major story in this current issue. And we decided we were not going to do a traditional nonprofit because we felt that we could do more benefit by being just in the community, not being beholden to the nonprofit industrial complex, which Velda Thomas has a beautiful piece about. J-Carf is very critical of that.
Why don't you identify J-Carf for the people who don't know the acronym?
Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund. They are our model. And this started before George Floyd was murdered. J-Carf has been in this community for a long time. Before it was hip to be part of this movement, J-Carf was here. And they were doing this amazing work. They were raising funds. And they, for people that don't know, they have a model where they are a... Justine, help me out. What is it called? It's a charitable...
Mutual aid.
A mutual aid fund. Thank you.
They're not a traditional nonprofit.
Correct. So they just raise money and then they just dole it out. Yeah. And the reality is that in our new world, the nonprofits are going to be left behind. Old timers, sorry guys, like we want you with us, but we're going to do our own thing. And we are doing our own thing. I mean, I've had so many people since we started these last two issues just come to me and say, you guys are the future. And that's the reality.
I've been one of those people who say that. And we were talking about the other day about this feeling that those of us who are in the older generation, in the nonprofit generation, in the retired generation, are watching this city being taken over by the people in your demographic. Because you're going to live here, you're going to continue with this place, and you're a majority of the city council and going to be. You're all stepping up to do the things we need to do to make this town go into the future. And I'm very excited about it.
First of all, I realized since this is a radio interview, I want to make sure that people know that Straight Up is spelled STRAIT, as in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. So we really wanted to make it a place-based name. Because it is a place-based project and all the content is focused on, if not Jefferson County, the broader Olympic Peninsula and just the Salish Sea, this area. And I also want to give a big shout out to Danny Milholland and Chen Polina, who were the original co-creators with me in thinking through how to create a magazine. And it's crazy to think, you know, that you can just create a magazine. I definitely thought it was a wild idea when we initially started it, but I want to make sure to acknowledge the amazing work and dedication and a lot of labor of love hours that have gone into starting this thing that now is being shepherded along into a next phase by this editorial collective.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it speaks to a younger generation. It definitely has a younger voice than the typical publications that we see.
Our magazine is ready to go to the entire North Olympic Peninsula. Mm-hmm. We are going to spread into Clallam. We are going to tell stories that are meaningful and relevant to people. And our writers are human. I mean, they're telling human stories. And it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, you use the word place-based. I mean, a wonderful thing about it is reading these articles by people who are here talking about living here. That's what the real focus is, but it integrates with all the other issues that we're facing around us and as a country. That's what this issue really distills.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, a big sort of part of the project of it is recognizing how we, you know, it's easy to read in the media about stories that are happening elsewhere that exemplify all of the issues that the nation and the world are facing, but bringing that home is really important and sharing not just the stories of what's going wrong, but various different types of efforts that people are cultivating that are kind of within reach that we can grasp and see and see the impact of in order to share the story and co-create what this next vision looks like.
Because we are young people that live in Port Townsend, and we know what it's like to live here. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring the young people here. I'm encouraging families and creatives. We are all doing this together. And that is the whole thing about the collective. This magazine is a not-for-profit operation. We are created to have a statement in this community.
I will just clarify that we did decide to organize as an LLC, as a business, but with the desire to run it cooperatively and think about profit in terms of feeding that back into the magazine so it can be sustainable. And a really big part of our vision is being able to use the magazine as a platform that will actually pay the contributors and pay the artists and pay ourselves for doing it. We've put in a lot of volunteer hours in getting it up to this place, but our vision is that this can be a way for both up and coming artists and writers to actually be able to feed themselves. I think we said that in the intro for this issue. The big part of that is relying on our sliding scale subscription. So the base subscription this year is $30 if you order online, and that includes the shipping and the taxes that we have to deal with for two issues per year. But individuals have the option to subscribe for $50, $100, or $200. And we really rely on those higher level subscription folks to, you know, to put in that extra money that is going to not only allow this project to keep going and keep growing, but also allows us to donate magazines. We donated 20 magazines to the Recovery Cafe since they were partially featured in this last issue. We've donated over 15 magazines to the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund. We, you know, often will leave magazines. Yeah, I actually gave some to the young man who was featured in the story about the fairgrounds. I gave him 5 issues to take to folks at the fairgrounds. So we really want to be able to give free magazines and really low cost magazines to those who have that financial situation. And we rely on people who have the means to subscribe at higher levels to enable that redistribution and access to this.
Well, one thing I also noticed coming from community radio that partly relies on supportive businesses, sympathetic businesses, is you have a really great basis of support in terms of local businesses that have put ads in your magazine.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Our partnership with KPTZ is so meaningful to us. Hopefully you've heard our spot.
No kidding. Yeah.
Paula Abdul, Straight Up Don't Tell Me. We really like to have fun. The whole thing is that we are here to stay, and we want to let people know that you can be a creative young person here. Start a business. Push some issues. Let's have a conversation. We are all here to live here and do something special because we know we are facing very, very, very specific challenges in the future. And if we can't come together and hang out with each other, intergenerational communication is a huge issue for our magazine. That is one of the things that we're writing grants actively. We're getting creative about how we can write grants through nonprofits like fiscal sponsorship. But we know that we have a responsibility because we are, as Larry says, like we are the next generation, and we are going to take this very, very seriously. We are going to take this magazine and represent ourselves as best as we can.
And you're right, Larry. We have really relied on all of the ad sales to power this and really to pay for the printing. Every time we rely on those ad sales to come in to pay for the quite hefty cost of printing. And we try to make sure that we can include the ads from businesses that we really want to help support and highlight using this platform. So we actually offer both a 25% discount to nonprofits for any advertisement, as well as a 50% discount for newly opened businesses and BIPOC.
And BIPOC.
And that's new this time, and we're really excited to keep that. And in fact, you know, we had one advertiser who sent in an ad that didn't quite fill a full half page. And we asked, hey, would you be willing to donate that extra little, you know, business card size page at the bottom of your spot to, you know, to a BIPOC owned business? And we got a little business card in there. So we're trying to, as best we can, walk the talk that we're, mm-hmm. that we're talking about in the magazine with the actual of it.
Yeah. Well, as a representative of the older generation, there was one article, of course, that hit me right in the gut, written by Paris Jade, called Toxic White Liberal. You know,
and it's just toxic white liberal.
Yeah. Which, you know, of course, we don't think of ourselves as toxic. We think of ourselves as open-minded. And what's real interesting is to hear the perspective of a BIPOC person talking about the spirit that people celebrate, the older people celebrated this community of the liberalness and how open-minded we are. But yet, here's a view from someone who is put on the spot because of who she is, just by her nature of being at the supermarket and being approached by people with something in their heart they want to express, but it's so awkward. It's a very beautifully written thing.
Yeah, that piece is really powerful, and it's obviously just a really important perspective. And I think illustrates the kind of difference between how we can theorize about these ideas of racial justice, but where does the rubber meet the road when you're interacting with a person of color? You know, like, are all those assumptions and just continuing to tokenize that person as, I think that is a really helpful piece in really demonstrating like her experiences, and it's a really helpful mirror to, you know, quote unquote, well-meaning white folks, how those day-to-day interactions come off in a toxic manner.
And there's a number of articles that kind of approach that feeling from different perspectives. And that's what I appreciate is the range of perspectives. And also it seems to be that you have a number of high school students or people who are just post high school who are writing for you. Is that right?
Julia Neville, she's a junior becoming a senior, and she's going to be our intern next year, which we're extremely excited about. We're getting the youth involved, Larry. We have an amazing team, an absolutely incredible team. Honestly, I would put this magazine to anywhere in Seattle, and I would say, look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Look at what we're doing here. And I hold that true. And with our collective, we're doing it business-wise. We're doing it personal relationship-wise. Justine and I were just dancing on the dance floor last night. Like, we like to hang out with each other. Mm-hmm. That is the thing. This is for real. And Larry, I bring this down to the fact that we live in a community and we need to live together. It is not about what you perceive. It is not about what you present. It is about the fact that we live here together, and we are going to do this together, and we will be here together. And that's the thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what I wanted to hear from you guys, because I'm really impressed with the magazine, and I think we should work towards featuring some of the writing in the magazine more prominently on the radio. So I think we can possibly integrate that.
Awesome.
We'll talk about this afterwards. But
yeah. I know. Well, it's a time. I mean, it's a time where we need each other. We need to care for each other. We need to dance with each other. Larry, we're going to dance next time.
Okay. That's what this magazine's really about, is us communicating and dancing.
Justine is an incredible dancer.
Well, that's great. Well, I've been speaking to Justine Gonzalez-Berg, the editor-in-chief of Straight Up, STRAIT, Up. The current issue is issue number 5, summer of 2021. It's called Uproot. It takes the name of a piece of poetry by one of the members of the collective that edits and puts this magazine out, Rob Cantley. And I urge you to look at that poem in particular called Uproot. Also with me has been Arendt Spesser, who's part of the collective, the editorial collective. These are just two of the 7 people who put out this really beautiful magazine. So we're so happy to follow it and be supporters of it and give you a chance to talk about it, really, and get the writing out even farther than you can from the magazine. So
thanks so much, Larry.
Justine Gonzalez-Berg and Arendt Spesser with all the energy you can hear in their voices. They are part of the seven-person collective group of people who edit and put out the magazine Straight Up, S-T-R-A-I-T, like the straight that we live on. The new issue is issue number 5 for the summer of 2021. The theme is called Uproot, and that's the name of a poem that's in the issue, along with a lot of other great articles, nonfiction, poetry, art, photography. It's really a nice magazine. And as I mentioned it during the interview, I want to work towards getting some of the pieces in Straight Up read to you here on the radio, hopefully by the authors. So we will work towards that. Thank you for supporting KPTZ. We really appreciate it.